6:30, if you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's due to, so those two are reduced, and then we added in the gas station.
I thought we were changing the ordinance on this maximum amount, or no?
We normally just put it to whatever we have on the books. That's what the goal was, when we passed, instead of the bottom mark.
Okay.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Trustee Kopisch?
Here.
Trustee Gingrich?
Here.
Trustee Green?
Here.
Trustee Vandenhoven is here. Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Gast is excused. Trustee Zeller is excused. Are there any modifications to the agenda this evening? Is there anyone visiting us who'd like to see an agenda item moved up or down the agenda? Yes, Mr. Robson?
Could we move the front and the front?
The front isn't on the agenda at all.
If you were told last Thursday at the Public Works meeting that it would.
Yes, Trustee Green.
Craig only got the information today, so it was not able to be put, according to open meetings laws, on the agenda. So you should see it at the next meeting, because there was no response till today.
Good comment, though. Good comment.
Sure.
I'll let Craig comment on that, on the information he got back.
Why don't we wait until we get to the public appearances, and Mr. Robson, if you'd like to ask a couple questions about it, we can have Mr. Byrne respond then.
But I just wanted you to know why it wasn't on the agenda.
We appreciate that.
That having been said, yes.
Could we do item 6?
At all?
Tomorrow.
Okay. I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to move public appearances before the presentation from transit. Is that okay? It's probably going to take a couple minutes. And then we'll move item 6 after that. And then we'll get to the transit presentation. Any other recommendations? Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as amended or as revised. Trustee Culver, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Okay, public appearances. Is there anyone who'd like to speak this evening?
Yeah, I guess I'd like to have the comments as to what happened today. Where are we at? Do you have any direction, Craig, at all?
Don, could you give your name and address for the record, please?
Don Robson, 807 LeBron.
Thank you.
Well, for the benefit of everyone here, we are still negotiating the agreement between the two communities. At Public Works last Thursday, one of the recommendations from the committee was to separate the agreement and treat the eastern portion of LeBron that we want to reconstruct as a separate agreement from the balance of LeBron so that we can expedite the work on the eastern portion. So we will do that.
When you say the eastern portion, you mean east of
East
River Drive?
Right. Yeah, the small section there that we want to refurbish. At Public Works, we talked about two other issues that had surfaced, and one was the pier from the original agreement, the original discussion, and what they took through their committee and board. Subsequent to that, had come back to us and said they did not want to participate in the private sidewalk that would be on the alleyway side of LeBron between McCaslin and Webster. They didn't want to participate in the cost of a sidewalk there. That's a change from where we were originally. And also, from the committee standpoint, we talked about the idea of perhaps requesting that the portion now that is not constructed from McCaslin to East River Drive, that portion that we approach to Pier and request that their portion of that section be detached and annexed to Alloway. That was not part of our original discussion. So I approached Pier with that. Feedback today was, go ahead and send us a written request and we'll take it to the Planning Commission. Okay. So that's where we're at. We'll be revising the agreement to separate the two portions of LeBron. That will come to board at the next meeting will be, do we want to make that formal request for detaching that other portion? That's the new development.
Okay. Any other questions? Pardon?
There's nothing we can do in the meantime.
No, we have to wait for them. I think what the Public Works Committee is trying to do is separate the two issues. One is the portion of LeBron by your house, Mr. Robson, and the other is the portion behind Castleman Court. And our request is going to be that they basically allow us to annex their side of that land. Okay.
Did they give any indication as to where Mr. Mako's apartment building will access a driveway or anything?
I really don't know anything about that.
Oh, okay.
It's not Alloway property. We really don't know anything about it. I think we've requested for them to tell us what they're doing, but we have not gotten a response, so we really don't know much about it.
Yeah, I've been playing phone tag with the planner in the pier to find out what the proposal is for that property, and we have not touched base yet, so.
Could you give your name and address for the record, please?
Oh, sure. Joyce Wolfe, 824 Antonin Court.
We really didn't know that there was anything going on there until we got a couple of emails from residents that what's happening. And we knew nothing about it from, the peer did not inform us of what they were looking at and what was going on. And it's a private development on the peer side, so we're finding out about it at the same time you are.
So did they not apply the agreement we had talked about last fall with them in regards to a potential bike trail and stuff down there? I thought Mr. Mako said he had no reason to access that closed portion and that we were moving forward.
I recall that he did say he had no need for that road, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure how he's going to access his property.
Well, right now the trucks are using the closed portion of LeBron, so I'm afraid with the summer coming that we won't be able to keep our windows open because obviously they are currently using it, so they haven't brought in the real heavy equipment because the gentleman that cut down the trees, we did talk to him and he said that they are building and they want them to get the trees dumped out as soon as possible, but he cannot because of the wetness of the land bring those in right now. And he did not know where they were going to access which road, but based on how they're using the construction now, I would assume they're going to be using LeBron.
The unpaved portion of LeBron?
Pardon me?
The unpaved part?
The closed
part. Yeah.
The closed part.
Yeah.
And is he building
clear cut the entire area that was vacant.
Is he building additional apartment building?
That is what the person that was removing the trees that is under contract by him said yes. So that's why I was surprised to hear ahead of it. I would think he had to apply for a permit or something. They haven't staked it off yet, though.
How are they getting to the closed portion of LeBron?
Coming through the barricade that's on East River Drive.
Coming on by Don's side, yeah.
They're coming through the barricade?
Yes.
Yeah, the pier must have modified that so they can just slide the planks out of the barricade and they're driving up LeBron and Joyce's, right? If that's what they intend to do with their equipment coming in there. Now they start staking and grading.
Craig and Tracy, can you do some investigation as to what's going on there? I didn't know anything about this either. Now the emails make a little bit more sense. I didn't have any idea why those, what precipitated that.
Yeah,
this all has happened last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, and it's kind of interesting. We come at dinner time and on the weekends and do it, so it's very interesting. We enjoy your time.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further comments, questions for our visitors?
For that particular item?
Either, anything.
I'm here to ask about what an agenda, if they have the public access you guys are going to make through Sunset Park. Is that on the agenda tonight?
It is on the agenda tonight under number 7, yes.
Okay, that's why I'm here.
Okay. We can definitely open that up when we get to number 7 if you prefer to talk about it during that item.
Okay, sure.
Anyone else? Okay. We'll move on to item 6. Action regarding the Vallenbrunn 2013 Entertainment Station. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Green?
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Genrich? Discussion? Is there anything? Discussion?
I was going to say, Bellin's done a great job. The last couple of years, things have run very smoothly. We haven't heard any complaints from residents and no complaints from EMS staff regarding getting through runners, so they've been doing a great job.
We have a new road for them to test out, too.
Yes.
Unless there are objections, I'll open it up to see if there are comments from our visitors. Anything that you like?
I was just here in case you had any questions for me. As far as the entertainment on the course, which hasn't changed from last year.
Any questions? Thanks for doing a great job. We haven't had any problems. Later then. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Green Bay Transit update. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, of course. Thank you, Mr. President, all trustees. I'm Tom Wittick, Transit Director for Green Bay Metro, and glad to be here. I haven't been before you since November, so some updates. We had a really solid year in 2012. Ridership was up a few percent. Our revenues were increased. We had solid fare box revenues in 2012. On January 1st, I had discussed it in November. We eliminated all of our paper transfers, and the riders bought these day passes, which have been a huge success for us. The ridership has really liked it. Our revenues, even in 2013, are up significantly over what they were at this time in 2012. So the success we had, we share it with you. I have a check here for you for $18,000, some odd cents. As your refund this year for your participation in support of public transportation. I can segue into the next part. Please put this in your piggy bank. Thursday, I spoke in front of the Joint Finance Committee when they were at Lambeau Field, and there's some discussion. We'll find out Thursday when the Joint Finance Committee announces their budget as far as transportation and mass transit. Whether or not they put the 10% back in that was taken out of the budget 2 years ago, and where public transportation ends up. Hopefully it stays in the transportation fund, but there's been some serious discussion to put the public transportation into the general fund, which we're obviously not in support of. So we'll find out on Thursday which direction state that is heading that way. Either or, we'll be okay heading into 2014. We'll have to maybe look at some adjustments. Fuel has really been a godsend for us this year. It's stayed pretty low considering diesel fuel, and that's really helping with our budget. We budgeted $3.55 a gallon in our budget for 2013, and we've consistently been about $3 a gallon the first quarter of the year, so that's really helping budget-wise. One major transit initiative, we're having a press conference Thursday at the Metro Center. I handed out some material on the new Discover Green Bay summertime kids bus pass that we feel really good about. It's going to be a great thing for the kids, 9 through 17. We hope when you post this on your village website, we'll have that forwarded to you so you can take the link. And it encourages kids to use public transportation throughout the summer from June 15th to August 31st for just $25. They can ride anywhere throughout the Metro Green Bay area. It's great for getting to, of course, places kids like to go. But we're trying to focus on education things. The Neville Museum, they'll have free admission all summer long into the Neville Public Museum, helping promote the video game historic thing that they'll be doing this year that's going to be really successful. Plus, someone 16, 17 needs to get to employment. That'll be their transportation. We feel it's a really good deal for $25 for practically the whole summer. So, in a nutshell, you know me, I could talk transit for an hour, but I'll take any questions that you might have.
Trustee Green?
Are you okay with us posting this on our website?
Please, yes.
Okay.
I'll send you a link.
Great.
Patty Key will send a link that you can post that onto the website. We appreciate you doing that and helping us promote it for the kids.
That would be great.
How have we been doing on Libel and Green? And there was a little bit of a transition with some folks having to walk a couple of blocks to the... Have we basically adjusted to that route?
Yeah, I think that's been adjusted for quite some time now. When we made those route changes going on 2 years ago, mm-hmm. The ridership has maintained on Route 11, we haven't heard any feedback one way or another, really. The feedback I had, I think I had mentioned this in November, or it was brought to my attention about one of our bus stops, I think, was on Webster, we adjusted that sign because somebody was missing the bus or something like that. So that's the only small adjustment that we had to make. I think it's been going well, very well.
Trustee Green?
The feedback I've had from residents is they love not having to transfer to get to De Pere or to get to downtown Green Bay. So they appreciated that route going back straight through to link all three communities.
Okay, good.
So that's been very positive.
All right, good. And that's the feedback that we like to hear, that it's more efficient for them to use transit. And that means that was a good decision, so thank you.
Trustee Gunn?
Any update on the, I guess it would be more of a national, federal type thing, the distinction or designation of metropolitan areas? It was going to affect funding perhaps dramatically, but I'm not sure what budget that would be addressed in.
Trustee, what you're talking about is the Metro Green Bay area went over the urbanized 200,000,
right?
And which is a good thing. But in the transit world, all of a sudden, because you're growing, whatever, they decide that you're a major metropolitan like Chicago or Milwaukee and everything. Mm-hmm. So it changed how we allocated funding. Before the 200,000, we were able to use all of our federal funds for operation costs. And we were averaging about $2.5 million in federal for that. Now, the scare that you might have heard a couple years ago was just because we were becoming large urban, we couldn't use any of that. We were going to lose that millions. We were going to lose that money. I put the water on that rumor real quick, and we're able to use 75% of it for operations and 25% for capital projects, which is actually to our advantage because when we're looking at our transit improvement plan for 5 years and things like that, we can plan some capital projects if we're able to afford to within the operational budget and using federal money. So that is situated. It's really a wash, per se, because preventive maintenance on the buses is considered a capital project. So even if they would have said you had to use all of it for capital, in our situation, that would have reimbursed us for our preventive maintenance costs, which equal over $2 million. So.
Trustee Gunn?
Thank you.
Any other questions? One final question. How come we don't get one of the real big checks? So we can credit the piggy bank.
So you're saying you want me to just hang out to it?
I'm not sure what I'm saying.
So thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I guess we have to skip up to announcements now. Are there any announcements this evening? Yes, Mr. Brent.
Next Thursday at lunch, we're going to have a luncheon for Larry Bellin, who's retiring on Friday. If he worked till June 1, he'd have 38 years with the village. It's going to be in the crew room in the back. It's just a potluck. And grill some hamburgers. Please consider attending because I think he'd appreciate it. Congratulations from everybody that can do so. 38 years is a long time to be here, and he's, without a doubt, the most experienced and most qualified operator that we've had here for many years. I'll send out an email as well so that everyone else is aware.
Is that at noon, Craig?
Yeah, that'll be at noon. And the crew room is way in the back. So you have to go through the parking garage to get back to the crew room or go around the building from the outside, either way, all to one.
Any other announcements? Item number 7, action regarding the request for bids on Sunset Trail. I think I will open this up for discussion before taking a motion. I'd like to start with Mr. Lang.
Craig Chu from Ayers is here tonight, too.
Okay.
Kind of walk you through what's going on.
Again, as Brad had said.
Hey, Brad, can we set this up over here? And then I think we could probably get a glimpse of it, and just so that folks that visit can. You're okay, Penny, with that?
Mm-hmm.
Again, as Brad said, my name is Craig Chu from Ayers Associates. Ayers Associates was hired to do the design for the Sunset Park Fox River Trail connection. That is a drawing of the alignment and trail width is the outside lines. If you prefer, I can kind of show you.
Sure.
If I can walk away. This is Sunset Circle here. So when we shot the topo, and if you can't hear me, I'll keep talking louder because I can do that. So we shot the topo for the curb and gutter here. The dashed line, it's two short dashes, one long dash, that is the right-of-way taken off of the Brown County site, and it's referenced off of a couple right-of-way pins that we did find from the surrounding property. This is the Fox River Trail here. As you can see, the corridor of the Fox River Trail is 66 feet, and then it switches to 100 feet in the Sunset Park location. This is the trail coming off of the curb and gutter. In the circle area, comes down. There is a large diameter oak tree, your monumental oak tree in the park, comes along that and weaves down. And this is all relatively flat here. And this is a rather steep, but not super steep, grade coming down to the Fox River Trail connection.
A question for you. When we first started talking about this, and we had some folks from TC do the designing of the flowers and all that sort of stuff, I thought the trail the pathway was going to sort of run more parallel to the trail, so that someone in a bike or a wheelchair or a skateboard or anything wasn't really coming right into traffic on the Fox River Trail. Does anyone else remember that?
And if it's okay, I'm not sure if you want this left behind or not. This portion of the trail mimics the existing. The connection that Fox River, I think it was NWTC's architecture group, we were able to take that drawing, scan that in, make that a PDF, and lay that right on top of our topo survey. So we traced that in originally, and it came in here, and it actually came way out and up. And this was a very tight radius, and because of the grade going down the hill, we made that a larger radius curve to soften that so it was safer.
Yeah, I guess what I'm talking about is once you get closer to the Fox River Trail,
And then
I thought I remember it going sort of back north so that when you entered the trail, you were kind of like an on-ramp for a highway. You were kind of merging into traffic, but maybe I'm misremembering.
Actually, it was a right angle to the
trail.
That would be something that you'd put a stop sign up or something in the future for that traffic. It is very flat.
Is it
40 feet or so of the trail.
Okay.
It's at less than a 2% grade there.
Okay.
So it is... is very manageable for bikes and walkers and rollerbladers to slow down as they're approaching the...
And the slope, obviously, ADA requirements and all that.
Yes, it does meet ADA requirements. It does meet... there's recommended bicycle requirements as well, because this is a multi-use trail.
Right.
So we have taken those into account. And that was the curve that they had set up right up here. And it's even tighter coming real close to this property line for these houses that are here. This was so tight. I believe this was a 30-foot radius. So we put a 70-foot radius in there. The desirable for any trail is 100. But if we put 100 in, it would be just... It won't give it any aesthetic appeal.
Okay.
And I guess what I'm talking about
is still this on the bottom doesn't look like a perfect right angle. It looks like it's kind of
tucked into the
Fox River Trail as opposed to coming straight at it like this.
Yeah. When they did this, they did not have the topo. There are some shrubs and trees that are there, and when we sat down with Brad to review this, the desire was to avoid that brushy area and slide it away so there was a little better visibility.
Okay. So what you're saying is between the curve, the curve that you have to make up top where the grade is steeper
and then
obstacles down at the bottom, you have to kind of come almost right at the Fox River Trail in order to make it.
It's actually your safest condition. When you design an intersection, you always want to be at a right angle or as close to a right angle as possible. So therefore, you make this small trail a stop condition, because your Fox River Trail is a through for your bicyclists and so on and so forth. And it will make it a lot safer connection to that trail.
Okay.
You want to see this, Don? Mm-hmm. Thanks. Or is this just an option?
Yeah, this was an option.
Yeah, and
part of the design, we are doing the earthwork and paving of the trail, and then at a later date, the village will be doing the aesthetic treatment that's desired yet after that. That would be anticipated.
The surface would be what?
Pardon me?
The surface is?
It's an asphalt surface.
Okay.
10 feet wide, 1 foot gravel shoulders.
Did we run this by traffic and safety or anyone? Do we routinely do that?
Park and Rec looked at it a while back.
Okay. All right.
We've had tentative plans done for this for quite some time. they went out there with still a foot of snow to do the topo survey. However, we've been working with the Department of Natural Resources. An easement needs to be created for this trail where the connection is on the Fox River corridor. So we've been working with them, and the issue was the deeds and title searches that go back to the 1800s had this corridor at 66 feet. However, the parcels that were platted around that for the houses, that plat, showed it different. So we're in the process right now of doing a title search and putting together an exhibit for the Department of Natural Resources. So this is an easement that is permanently created that lays on top of their corridor.
Any questions?
So what we're looking at, we're to the point where as soon as we get the easement back to the DNR, we can start to advertise for bids.
Okay.
So, but this is the process that we wanted to do, is make sure that the board was well aware of.
What's that timetable, do you think?
Well, and we're looking at a few weeks to put the title search was ordered. It typically takes about a week to come back from the title company. Then our surveyors to do a little more research in the field to tie it off and pins-wise, and then put the exhibit together, send it off to the Department of Natural Resources. Hopefully we get a fast recovery and return time on that. That's been the difficult portion of this project so far. But I would like to, and you know, Brad is, we would like to move this forward. So as we're going through that easement process with the Department of Natural Resources, we would like to advertise this. So I'm looking at the first advertisement mid to late June, and be able to set that schedule up with Brad, and then he can discuss with you if that comes back to Village Board for contract approval, or if that just can go through his parts.
Yeah, we've just changed that, didn't we?
It will be a dollar figure will require Village Board approval.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
And we got grant money for this, is that right?
Correct.
What percent of the total cost, or was it a...
It's a 50-50 grant.
50-50. Any other questions before we open it up to our visitors? Unless there are objections, we'll... Yeah.
What's the time for plantings to go around that? Is that based on donations? When do we foresee that type of thing getting done?
I'm going to kind of refer some of this to Tracy, because okay. This is kind of an... not sure how she put it into her grant. Tracy wrote this grant, so if you don't mind, Tracy.
Yes. The grant really covered the trail and the cost of the trail and the asphalt and grading and everything that Craig just mentioned. The planting part of it was, there's no funds for planting in there. It's more of a volunteer and soliciting support on that, as well as the Parks Department helping out with some of the creating of the beds and putting the plants and stuff in. So it's a combination of that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else? Unless there are objections, we'll suspend the rules. Sir, would you like to comment or ask questions?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Could you please?
My name is Rob Collins. I live at 628 West Briar. This is me. I live right here. By this scale, this is going to put this trail right here, approximately maybe 60, 70 feet off the back of my property. Right around there. My question is why is it decided with this 2-acre park that it's got to run right along near the residential areas of our homes that are right here? Why can't this thing go through the middle of it? We already have a problem with people coming down to the end of West Briar and cutting through our property. Zoe Karamias lives right here. She has an asphalt driveway that comes off of West Briar. Looks like a road. People treat it like it. They come right through there. Now, if we put this trail that close to this end of the property, we're going to even have more of a problem. And the other part about it, too, is I know that you guys will probably end up having problems with the trail down in here, because I've been to this board back when it was up on Webster Street. There's a problem with the sewer system through here, and this drain, the storm sewers come up in this park. That's why it's always wet down in this corner. Back about, I don't have the date written down, you guys can check your records, we had a break in a water line on West Briar up near Riverside. And as they were pumping it out during the middle of the day, all the brown water, because they had dug a hole the day before, the next day it was full of water. They sat and pumped it out. It was running down the street, going into the gutter. I was out in the back, and I was watching it come up out of the park, the same brown, muddy water. No rain out, no nothing that day. There's a problem with the sewer system through here, so I feel that you will end up having problems with this end of the trail coming on over here, because you are so close down here. And I want to know who decided that it just goes this way.
Well, my recollection is that they didn't want to do a straight shot straight down to the trail.
I understand that.
A couple of reasons.
Yes.
One is the grade, is that when you have the grade like
yeah,
that, you don't want
to... I didn't analyze the grade going straight down the hill, but there is... It probably doesn't meet ADA requirements for a multi-use trail or those recommendations for minimum...
I'm not saying going straight down it. You can still do a big S-curve or something down it, but why not in the middle of the park where it's not near anybody's... Because we have residential homes on the north end of it. Yeah. Four of us residential homes, 1, 2, 3, and 4 right here on this end of the home. And now we got this trail that's going to be 70 feet behind. My pool, my deck, and everything runs right back here to back end of this property. And we already have people coming through our property that we have to politely say, could you please not come through here?
Where do those people come from? Do they come from the cul-de-sac?
Yep, they come from West Breyer. They come from West Breyer. They come down in the cul-de-sac. People come down in through it. And like I said, right at the end of the cul-de-sac down here, Zoe Caramias has a very nice blacktop driveway that basically looks like a road. And people just come right down through, and then they come right through here, and they access the trail. I like the trail, don't get me wrong. And I don't mind having access. But 400 yards down the trail, you have an access. That's wheelchair accessible, everything, with parking. But I understand that's the pier's access. It's not Alloy's access. But now... My concern is how close you are down here to these residential homes with this trail, and the problem now that we'll have increased traffic coming through our property.
There's no posting in your immediate neighborhood of no trail access or anything like that.
Nope.
Is that a possibility that we could use some signage down there? I mean, if they're going through private driveways and or your backyard.
They are. They
I mean, some signage... Doesn't seem like that'd be out of order, especially if this is put in place. You know, trail access at Sunset Park or Sunlight, Sunset.
But I understand that my question is why not run it on the other end of the park? Why is it going to be on the south end of the park? Why can't it be on the north end of the park? Be by their property. Mr. Watermelon, I don't think, is going to like that either.
Right.
This design did move that away substantially far.
Oh, no, I know that. That's what I'm happy to hear, because when I first saw that first one, that was just totally uncalled for.
That was within about 30 feet of your property.
I'd maybe be able to touch people as they go by. And I preferably don't like sitting out in the back, grilling out, having supper, and having people come through on their bikes, and then have to try and be an asshole and say something to them. Hey, could you please not do this? This is a private property. Oh, we're sorry. Yeah, okay, pal.
I would hope that there would be fewer people going through your yard because they're going to have access on this trail through the park.
Yeah, but the people who are going to come off the park are going to say, why do I want to go all around on Sunset Circle when I just cut right through here on the Breyer? And a lot of it... Right through on the Breyer, and then they can go up over that way, because you can get over to where Zesty's is, and get over where the Dairy Queen is. We have a lot more problem than what people think.
Is there any fencing in there at all?
No, sir.
None at all.
There's a fence around my pool, obviously, but as far as that, no. Everything is all open, because we like, everybody who's there likes how nice and open it is. We like that part.
So people are going to come off the path that goes through the park and come off that path and go through to Breyer.
They can. Actually, right in through here, if we could draw it on here, Zoe Caramias, her driveway is probably like right in here, and it's only going to be whatever this is right there. As people come this way, they're going to look, and it's going to look like a road that's only, I just got to cross that little bit of grass, and I'm right onto that blacktop, and I can just go right out that way.
Well, I agree. Some signage needs to be put up, and even if we were to move the trail north some amount of feet, people are going to still be able to see it. And if they're going to go cut through someone's yard, they're going to cut through someone's yard.
Honestly, that's true. But also, too, we got, you know, obviously I'm asking it be moved more into the middle just because I don't have to sit back there, or we're sitting back there and people just walking by looking at us. And I understand that people who are on the Fox River Trail have that problem, you know, who live along the Fox. And I like the trail, don't get me wrong. We love the trail. It's just that bringing it this close to this end of the trip, end of the property, when you got 2 acres or more of land, I forget exactly how much it is.
Is there any way that it can be moved farther north?
Yeah, that is entirely up to the village staff. This was
I
really
thought there were some reasons why it was drawn the way it was the first time.
The alignment was based off of that initial plan when we discussed revising it slightly to where it is now, you know, to facilitate standards to make it.
If I may, is to try to coordinate a little bit more with where the sidewalk is on Riverside, the potential crossing on Riverside, because it ends right there on Sunset Circle, on the south side of Sunset Circle. And so then the idea would you be coming through that way. That's one of the reasons not to go to the north. And the other reason to not go down the middle of the park was during the discussions, what, about a year that the park, well, not quite a year, several months that we worked on with the NWTC students and some of the residents was not to dissect the park in half with the trail down the middle. So the individuals, if they wanted to have a picnic out there or play football, whatever, although there are a lot of trees, there's manhole covers, it wasn't interrupted by the trail going through the middle.
So that line, just a few inches up from where the trail starts, that's the midpoint of the park?
That is, if you look at these properties, that is a, and I'm not sure, I should have looked closer. This park, I believe when it was put on the Brown County website, did have two separate property lines, a property line splitting the two.
But in essence, what we're looking at is half the park, the other half.
I believe it's primarily half of the park.
Right.
Yeah, there's a little less than the same size, but it's close.
And if I may mention a little bit, the plantings that the NWTC students looked at was to help with that whole aspect. As you were looking out, you're looking at more flowers and plants versus the asphalt, and hopefully with the deterrent of people cutting through those.
Yeah, I understand.
Are you the duplex right there in the...
That's Mrs. Zoe Kermias.
That's the one you're talking about.
On the one right next to it.
Because to the south of her, that's apartment access, right?
There apartment access.
There's apartment complex right there?
There's an apartment complex right there, yes.
Okay.
But there's no access there at all.
Just to the apartment, I meant, to the underground parking or where their driveway anyway.
Oh, for a driveway, yes. There's an underground parking there in the cul-de-sac. In the cul-de-sac, there's 1, 2, 3 of us with private driveways, and then there's basically two for the apartment buildings. One is to their parking lot up, and then one goes down underneath, yes.
Okay.
But we do have, I mean, and fortunately enough, people do come down Briar and then spin around and go back up with their bikes, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people, like I said, see Mrs. Karamias' driveway. That's a nice blacktop thing that she has a big turnaround because there is a duplex there, like you said. One part goes to the one half, and hers goes down the side between our house and her house and swings around and goes in because she has, like, parking that almost comes in on the north end of her property, and she has a big turnaround and stuff there. So there's a big, you know. All I'm asking is it to be moved a little bit. I mean, I'm happy that it's moved as much as it is. I mean, I'm at least happy to see this much, but I still think you're going to have problems down in the corner of that if you guys don't check out the way the sewer system is. But that's just me.
With that tree there, you'd have to move it substantially north in order to navigate that tree.
If this was just rotated down, we'd have to look at the grade, but you could slide this to the north, and you'd be eliminating some of the wiggle up here. But to avoid this oak tree, which is, that's your signature tree in
right.
the park.
Yeah.
When you come around the corner, it's there, 60 inches in diameter. You'd have to slide it way to the north, and then you're coming down the grade already if you come around that tree without affecting its root system. So you really... If you're going to put it on the north side, then you might be mirroring the whole image. somehow, and I don't know if that wasn't analyzed either on grade and aesthetics.
And I didn't mean to come here to throw a big monkey wrench in this, but we're the ones that got to live there and put up with it.
I would hope that once this access is developed, that it would be, you know, the users would see this and be able to use this.
Oh, no, I understand that they would.
Without using yours.
People are going to use it. And I understand they're going to use it. But they're going to be able to see from right there. It's even easier. Right now, they got to go all the way across the park in order to get the trailer. It's not the people that do it. But with that, it's going to make it look even more tempting. I'm asking if it could be brought a little bit, and then also to put up signs along there that's saying, you know, of some sort, because...
How far is it from where the trail starts to the what I'm perceiving as kind of the midpoint of the park? Just that couple inches right there.
This? And I should have brought a scale, I'm sorry. I came right from my daughter's softball game. That's why I'm still in her jacket, or my shirt. I switched into...
It's got to be about 50, 60.
Yeah, it's about 40 feet just from the edge of trail that we have drawn right now to this property line.
And Brad, you're saying if that were moved, the whole thing were just sort of shifted north or whatever direction it is, 40 feet, that would be dissecting the park too much? I mean, the trail clearly goes south.
If you'd move this, then you'd be getting into all of the root system on that old tree.
That's why you got to push this.
And,
okay.
that is, if you want that old tree to live, you don't want to be any closer. And so if you would do something, you'd have to come way to the north and come way around it somehow. And then you're going partially down the hill already as that grade drops off towards the Fox River Trail.
That's more of what the NWTC students came up with. That line that's dissecting, that's where they were coming into the park. So they were north of the big oak tree. And Craig and I talked about that. It's like, you know, it's probably not the best thing to be doing all that construction work near that root system. But it is. It's a signature tree in that area. So that was one of the reasons it got pushed to the south of the tree.
Oh, there's no
so even if it ran right along the easement for the right-of-way, it wouldn't work.
What was that, Steve?
I mean, it sort of comes west towards the tree, and then it curves south.
Yeah, we have.
If you took that out and it sort of
tried
to run right along the road, almost like a sidewalk, would that work?
Because you're running bicycles and walkers and all of that stuff onto Sunset Circle, you really want to have some type of a stopping spot for them, a landing, you know, again at that close to 90 degree angle, because you're going to have a stop condition there, because you're going to have vehicular traffic out there that they're going to have to be merging with when they come out onto the road. So this was put in as a, you know, so they're lined up with bicycles. If you have two or three or your kids behind you, you know, that they're all stopped and able to stop and see both directions on that trail before proceeding again. That's really a safety issue that, you know, we'd like to see.
If the concern for this gentleman is really access, people accessing off of what's fired up to the trail, if you leave the trail where it is, but you put some barrier between there, whether it's a low fence, whether it's landscaping, I mean, you could push that further north a little bit, but you potentially will still have the same problem. Some people will still cut through there.
Oh, I understand that.
If you create some kind of barrier there, then they're not going to go through there because it'll be too difficult, whether it's a little short fence, or we put a little picket fence, or we put some landscaping around it, it'll cut off that access point, and they will continue on and go out where it's designed to be for them to go out. So maybe instead of starting to shift it and look at it that way, and you know that big oak really is something we want to save, and it kind of sets that trail then coming in where it is off of the road, and it would take care of the problem, and it would allow the trail to remain where it is. I mean, when we talked about it, when we met, we really talked about the grade and the issues with the grade out there. We designed it that way so we could keep the ADA, we could keep the accessibility. It would be a nice contour to it. It would blend into the park real well. So when you start shifting it, you start making it maybe more obtrusive and, you know, not as easy to get around, and the curves maybe as tight. So maybe to take care of your concern, it's just a simple...
Well, then there's no signature tree on the north end, so why don't we just reverse it and put it on the north end then?
Yeah, I don't know. It's always, and I don't know why it wasn't looked at the north end. It was just designed and looked at that way. Maybe it was the grade.
Take that same little S curve and do the same thing and put it on the north end.
I think the grade is greater on that end, but I don't know that to be true.
I've
seen it, but...
I haven't driven out there since in probably a month here since we had this to where we're at now. To really look at the grade, so I can't answer that. You know, really, the process was because NWTC had put so much time and effort into, you know, kind of giving it a concept location. You know, they had done the homework where it was just really a put it together, get it out there for bid process that we were involved in. If there needs to be more analysis, that is definitely something that your staff can discuss and with you, and we can go from there if needed. But then we do go backwards in the process of getting this done this summer.
Mm-hmm. It seems like we maybe have got some middle ground with barrier signage, and signage could start right up on Riverside. I mean, as soon as you turn onto Briar, there should be a sign right there that says no trail access. Not that that'll
nice.
Keep everybody out.
I understand.
But I think it's a start.
Nice.
You know, start right there and have more right at the access point.
Can we plant... there was a secondary issue besides the cutting through was, you know, people being real close to the property line. If you have you had a deck and a pool out there and people were... Can we plant trees there as sort of a barrier?
Well, you can, but you want to make sure you're not destroying what... the residents have been able to view for a number of years. So
the
plantings that we were, that NWTC students came up with, was something that was not going to visually take away from these.
You're able, the your ability to see into the park.
You're
right.
able to still see through,
that's
and that's what you wanted to mean.
But
you can't see into the park and not see into the park at the same time,
right?
If you want to see the park, you're going to have to see the people in the park, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Obviously, it's not going to get changed to the north end or go straight down the middle, which I know going straight down the middle wasn't ever going to happen. If it maybe gets shortened up and moved a little further away from the lot line, if it can work out that way, and signs and stuff put up, I'll have to live with it. I understand that. But it's... And I, like I said, I'm not against this by no means. But the other thing I think is that 400 yards down the road, we got all the access you need with parking, and you can pull up with a wheelchair and just go straight onto the trail with a wheelchair. You don't have to worry about no slope. You don't have to worry about no merging onto the trail. You don't have to worry about the people merging off, coming off the top onto Sunset Park. And then now we're going to have an issue. Are people going to be parking up there on Sunset Park in order to go take the trail and go walk? I'm not sure that you, once that starts happening, I think you have a few more people down here wanting no parking signs put up.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it will. I'm sure people will park there.
It's a park.
You can want to
understand that.
Sorry. Okay. Anything else?
It's not.
Anyone else who'd like to speak with regard to this issue? Okay, we'll take up the rules. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gingrich?
I would move to approve with consideration to include some signage, potential planting type barriers, low and or fencing to try to dissuade any traffic through those residential areas.
Is there a second?
I'll shorten it up a little bit, move it a little bit.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second? Discussion? I'd like to add an amendment that the staff at least consider whether or not it can be shortened or moved so that the maximum distance away from the residents in West Briar is maintained or achieved.
Second,
okay. So give it your best shot. I mean, I know it's tight and there are some things in there, but I mean, probably every foot will count in terms of your ability. So you're going to have to be able to balance the flow of it and the grade of it and the
that's why you guys are the experts. So. We're discussing the amendment here. Yep. Trustee Kenridge?
The concern about the water runoff and or sewage where the new trail meets the existing Fox River Trail, do we need to address that? And this is more of a point of reference, I guess.
I gave that information to Jeff back when it was snow out there. So he and I walked down, and there was an ice buildup underneath the snow. So I don't know where it's at this point.
What I saw with the water, that happened during the day, and then when the road was redone, we had the road with West Fire was all redone. I happened to be on vacation part of that week when they dug right in front of our house. They dug the one day, had a big hole. They came back the next day, and the guy asked me, he said, "Do you guys got water problems in your basements?" And I said, "No." I said, "We're okay right now." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because the hole was full of water already, just from rain." He said, "This shouldn't happen." They had pumped it out, they did what they had to do. They also, at the same time, had, when they were laying their pipe, they had a device in there that they put in the pipe in order to level it. It broke loose from the line. It went down the sewer. A guy went running down the side of the road, and he had to access. There are a couple sewer accesses right here. I never saw a guy pop a thing off so fast and dove almost head first, right down that thing to try and catch this thing. This device that they have for leveling, because I was informed it was like $5,000-$6,000 for this thing. And after he came up, he was talking to the head foreman of it, and he said, from this point here, that way, he said, the sewer pipes are messed up. They were just talking. Yeah. Plus, with the thing where I watched water that was being pumped during a day like today, where there's no rain at all, being pumped down and coming up out just right out of the ground in the park.
Okay, thank you. Craig, I'm assuming that you're going to work this out so we're not putting a new trail on something that's going to end up being a sinkhole. And
spring.
You know, we'll move forward. I mean, it's part of the project to explore those things. Any further discussion on the amendment? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment carries. Further discussion on the main motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 8A, the Sanitary Utility Compliance Maintenance Annual Report. This was some good reading, Craig. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Green?
Move to approve.
Trustee Kopisch?
Sure, second.
Discussion? Craig, I have a couple of questions for you. Page 5, you talk about a large fraction of the infiltration and what's the other I?
Inflow.
Is due to private laterals. What do we have? What's a large fraction? What percentage of this II problem is due to private laterals versus mains?
We don't have any exact number where we can say it's 25% due to the laterals and 75% due to the main. But
then I don't know what large fraction means at all. Then, Craig.
Well, what the rest of the communities in the Green Bay metro area are experiencing, and it was part of the clue we had to start working more seriously on laterals, is that they're finding that their largest source of infiltration is the private side laterals. And so basically all of the communities have initiated some sort of a program to start addressing private laterals as part of their projects and even separately. And so we're basically kind of falling in line with everybody else. And what I'm hearing from the other public works directors is that they're feeling, their opinion is that more than 50% of the infiltration is on the homeowner side.
Yeah. I mean, I picked up on the intent of it was to make sure that we got the point across that we're going to have a program to deal with these laterals. Right. Large fraction, I just didn't know what it was. I would just say a majority of it. I think it communicates kind of the same idea without raising some of those questions about exact percentages. We have 200.
A significant amount.
Okay. We have $250,000 in balance after last year, is that correct?
In the equipment replacement fund?
Yeah.
Yes. That's right, about $250,000.
And what? That seems like a lot of money. What is that going towards? What are we?
Well, it seems like a large amount of money, but we are required, because we have borrowed money from the Department of Natural Resources. One of the requirements in borrowing from the Clean Water Fund is that we have an equipment replacement fund, and this is established so that at the point in time when we need to do either major repairs or replace our wastewater pumping stations,
okay,
this is the money that we have in reserve for that. So that's what it is. It actually is, it could be larger. We could be, and probably should be, setting money aside for replacement of sewers. But we like most others, can't afford to set aside as much money as you'd like to. So that's why when we replace sewers, we borrow for it. We don't have the cash on hand to actually replace them with cash. So that's what that is. That's for future replacement of the wastewater pumping stations.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments?
One comment for you, but at the time that I drafted this, we had not reached the point where we could give you an estimate of the revenue, the net revenue,
yeah,
or the income of the utility. And if you recall, we've been trying to have an income in the $40,000 plus or minus range, which is below what our target is, but at least it's a positive income. Due to the fact that we had some relatively dry weather last year for part of the year, our income last year was a little more than $200,000 in the fund. And that's good, because that gives us a little more cushion to work with, especially knowing that we're going to have another rate increase because of sewer charges. That helps us out a bit for next year. So we had a more positive income than what we had planned.
Hypothetical question for you, Craig. We have lots and lots of dry seasons, and so there's not as much flow to the Met. Is that right? Don't rates then go up because they've got projects to pay for and they have to find the money to do it?
If it would be consistent several years, definitely would impact the rates.
Okay.
It has had some impact on the shorter term, a smaller amount, but you're right. If all of the communities are working to reduce their infiltration and inflow,
yeah,
and what that's doing is it's reducing the total flow to Green Bay Met, which right, means their volume charge tends to go up. It's the same thing as the purchased water from the Central Brown County Water Authority. As we reduce losses, the unit cost of water goes up,
right,
because the volume that we purchase is less.
And then if some commercial customers pre-treat, and you know, we're talking about less flowage to the Met, and the rates are going to increase.
All we can do is try to stay ahead of everybody else,
right,
so that our costs go down faster than others,
right,
and also at the Water Authority and Green Bay Met, try to keep the cost of treatment as reasonable as we can.
Isn't that part of what the Rate Stabilization Fund is, so that when there are fluctuations of customers entering and leaving and dry and wet seasons, that they don't have to respond, because otherwise they can keep the rates? Okay.
Well,
this is a big issue. I mean, I mean, Craig's done a lot of work on all of these issues related to the Met, but this is a big issue that's going to affect our residents quite substantially for years to come. Trustee Green.
Well, not only this one, but two, Craig has been pointing out and bringing to their attention different ways of handling things that can be much more cost effective, and we're not getting the response. So, you know, residents that are here and residents that are listening, we need more consumers to be part of the process too, instead of the only people at the public meetings being Freeman Metro Sewer District and Craig. So we have to get everybody involved with this, because I don't think people have a clue how this is going to impact their utility bills. Mm-hmm. So, and the ripple effect.
I agree. Craig, what do you do when you inspect manholes?
We take a very simple approach to it. We do it ourselves. In the wet weather flow in the spring, a couple days in the spring when we're at high rainfall conditions and in the fall, we have targeted manholes through the village that we know are intersections of a lot of sewer lines. And we visually go through, we send out a crew or two crews, and we visually go through and pop the manhole covers and look at them and measure the depth of flow. And what we're looking for when we do that is if we see a change from the previous time we inspected. So we're visually looking for differences. We have been able to, this is a very simplistic approach. It's not scientific like a lot of people would like to do, which is measure the flow and put in flow monitoring and so forth. We do this as a way to look for any major problems. In doing this, we have found a number of manholes that were deteriorated. We reconstructed them. We found some segments where we had a fracture in the pipe or something that took place in the course of a year. And so we went in and, you know, by televising those areas that looked suspect, we found problems. So this is a very low-cost way for us to kind of look for some major things, and it's worked for us.
But what you're saying is that it's still ours that we don't have the resources to staff.
Yes, we're pressed to do it, but we make sure that we get a couple days in the spring and the fall. But it would be nice if we had more. Yes.
Just side note question on manholes.
Yeah, go ahead.
The one at Wells Fargo, is that our manhole that's collapsing in right off Webster?
Right off of Webster? Or?
Yeah, it's just on the west, at the northernmost entrance into Wells Fargo. It's on the west side of Webster, off the road. There's a yellow cone by it, or orange cone, that's been there for quite a while. Is that our sewer?
Is it in Webster itself, in the street itself?
It's not in the street, it's off the street. I wasn't sure how much right of way we had there.
Yeah, I would think it's ours, yes.
How many of those do we get a year?
How many of those are we getting, I think?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a huge sinkhole around that.
Well, we encounter a couple of those type of animals per month, basically. You know, there's some over here right on Libel that we haven't been able to repair yet because of all of our other project work. In order to repair those, we have to go in and inspect them and determine exactly how to repair them because they are failing. We've got a half a dozen or more that we need to get out and redo. But the reason they haven't been done is because we have so much project work going on. Mm-hmm. Each one of those takes a day or two to figure out how to address it because you're looking not only at the manhole, but the whole storm sewer, sanitary sewer, and then do we repair it? What do we repair? Is it something we leave and replace the line? There's an analysis that goes with every one of them. So we're a little behind schedule on replacing some manholes.
Well, and that one's a good visual for people because there's so much of the dirt around it that's collapsed in too, so it's like how much more goes under the blacktop that you don't even see that's down.
Craig, in 3C you talk about in the future we'll strengthen our village ordinances to improve the program. What sorts of ordinances are there to enforce these? It's a lateral program?
Yes, that's a lateral program. I believe that what we have drafted right now, or what is in the current ordinance, we could use to enforce requiring replacing sanitary laterals. But I would prefer, and what our plan is, since our project is ongoing and we're getting such high participation without enforcing it, without taking enforcement action. And I would prefer to do, and this is in our work plan, this is one of the things we want to do, is to update that ordinance so that we have, it's very clear that we can require replacement. But then as part of that, the financing program and the technical assistance that we could offer to help would be part of it so that it's okay. Easier for residents to do.
So it's sort of formalizing what we're already doing.
Exactly. Okay. That's what it would be.
All right. Any further questions or comments? We have a motion and a second. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 8B, the contracts for the water meter project. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Green?
I would move to approve.
Is there a second? I will second. Discussion? Craig, do you want to summarize for us?
This?
I know we've chosen this company over Badger. That was the last time I thought about this. Is that right? Badger State? Or Badger?
Meter.
Badger Meter.
This is the major water meter replacement project that we're doing jointly with the four communities plus Grand Chute and Appleton.
Yep.
That's the HD Supply Census water meter. That's the technology. There's two contracts here. The HD Supply Waterworks is the primary contract that covers the purchase of the water meters and the infrastructure, which is the radio read tower and all the hardware that goes with it. This contract is, it says draft on it, but this is the contract that the City of Appleton and Grand Chute went to work on this contract first, made modifications to it that were in agreement with the HD Supply Waterworks, and what they focused on was the warranty, and they focused on the indemnity costs, indemnification costs. Those are usually the big items that you have in the contract, especially the indemnification, because the contract that they started with was the HD Supply contract. So they negotiated those terms, and they had, I believe, besides their own internal counsel, I believe that they used MnLaw. I know they used one of the major firms there, I believe it was MnLaw, to review this contract on their behalf. They gave this contract to us then for us to use for our review and finalization, which saved us a little time and effort. So the contract that you have before you is the Appleton negotiation forwarded to us, and then the Peer, Howard, and Alloway legal counsel plus the DPWs finalized this contract in its bring it to its present form.
Our legal counsel was involved in reviewing. Okay.
Yes, I was the typist, if you will.
Which is why we all had to review it, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And there are a number of things in this contract. I did not give you the red line one because I thought this would be just simpler to do this, but if you'd like to read the red line, I can give you that. There are a number of things that I inserted into it that I felt needed to be part of this contract. Exhibit A2, which is the pricing structure, is in here. And Exhibit A3, that's the installation schedule. And the performance bond, that was drafted by the Village of Howard. And then the warranty section, I took Appleton's warranty and I expanded it to cover more of the things that we wanted covered in the warranty. Anyway, it went back to the Peer legal counsel, our legal counsel, for final blessing. And we have forwarded it on to HD Supply so they could take it to their legal counsel for review. But we believe that this is basically the final contract. If there is any adjustment to it, we believe it will be very minor. So what I would like to do is to have your approval to proceed with this contract under the assumption that when we get it back from HD Supply, there's no significant changes to it. That would save us a little bit of time If there are changes, well, then we have to go back to the process. That's the water meter agreement. The other one is the advanced metering infrastructure, and that's in draft form. I expected to have the final by today, but we don't have it yet, and that is being finalized by the Water Authority Member Council.
So this is just the water meter.
This is just the water meter that you need passed tonight, and that will help to expedite things. Okay. Can we assume, I don't remember who, Trustee Green and who seconded? I did. Time to go. Trustee Green, can we assume that if there are minor changes that it need not come back to?
Correct. Anything major needs to come back here.
Comes back to the board or to the village attorney only?
I'd say village attorney and then at least, actually, major changes, I'd say village attorney and the board.
Okay.
So
that's fine. Are you comfortable with that? Is it going to slow down the process?
Yeah, that's the way it should be. If it's anything of great significance, then it comes back to the board.
And we're not interested.
To the attorney first, though.
Attorney first, yes.
All right, so if it's something minor, then just move forward. Right? Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 8C, the WPS utility permitting for projects in the village.
May I request discussion on this one prior to a motion?
Sure.
This one's complicated, and Mr. Byrne does a great job of summarizing this.
It is complicated, and it
doesn't
look like it's going to end soon.
No.
I'm bringing this to the board because we are at a crossroads, and I think the village needs to make a decision on how to handle this in the future. I'll back up to the past and how we got to this point, but I'll be real short on it. Remember about 2 years ago, or a little more than 2 years ago, we developed this utility permitting procedure for major projects. We've been using it for a couple of years. It's a permitting procedure that we developed with all the other metro communities. We're all using the same basic permit, except Main Bay has modified it a little bit because they had a permit of that size and complexity before we did. So they didn't want to change theirs. We sort of adapted to kind of match Green Bay. The reason for the permit is when a utility comes in and does a major project, they impact a lot of things. Restoration of the site, they impact our utilities sometimes. It gets to be rather complex. And we want to protect our residents and protect our utilities. So our permit that we use right now, and it has been accepted by all the other utilities that we work with. PDS Metrocom just signed it just a little while ago to put in the fiber optic for Bellin. There are several other ones. The Green Bay Fiber Optic Project accepted our utility permit. One of the provisions in our utility permit is in the handout, there's one page, the one that has the Village Valley Public Works on the header, has a couple key points, but the next page is the permit provisions. And if you turn to the second page of the permit provisions at the bottom, you see the yellow section where it says that we can require the applicant or the contractor to televise all or part of the sanitary or storm sewer system upon completion of the project. The reason for that is that we have found over the past several years, we've had a number of instances where utility contractors bore through one of our lines. Mm-hmm. We have no way to know that that's happened unless we actually witness it, or they come and tell us that they hit something. Now, we've had some of the contractors come and tell us, oh, we think we got a problem. But usually, that doesn't happen. So our concern is we're trying to protect our utilities. WPS, this particular document was written, modified just for WPS, but it has this requirement in here that we have the option to require televising. They're objecting to that. The question at hand is, are we going to continue to require post-construction televising, either as a firm requirement, always required, or as an option? Are we going to require that on our utility projects for WPS, because WPS is objecting to it. They will not pay for the cost in the permit application of the televising, and they won't agree to a FERC requirement if they have to televise after construction. And they're saying, if you require us to televise and there is no damage, the televising cost is your cost, not ours. So we're in a difficult situation. If we require this, if we make this a firm requirement, which would be in our best interest, make this a firm requirement that you must post and post-construction televise to confirm that there's no damage to our utilities, we're going to have a conflict here to resolve between ourselves and WPS, because they're going to object to it, and we'll have to deal with it. I did discuss this with our village attorney at some length, and his feeling is that we may well be the test case, and that is why they're objecting.
So no one else does this?
Green Bay requires a contract with the contractor, but it doesn't require televising. But they do put the responsibility for damage on the contractor. But they don't require the televising. The pier does do the televising
themselves.
But they do it themselves, and they include some of the cost in the permit. But we can't televise laterals. We don't have the equipment for that. Nor does the pier have the equipment to televise laterals. And it's the laterals that we're most concerned about. So
What equipment is required to televise a lateral?
The televising equipment, the system that we have, that we purchased, is a basic televising system. We manually feed the camera through the storm sewer or through the sanitary sewer by just, you know, pulling it through and doing the televising. When you come to a lateral, in order to do a lateral, you have to have a camera that has on the traveling system has a small camera that can leave the traveling.
Make the turns, in essence.
Takes the 90 degree turn and heads up the lateral. And you go all the way up to the house. That's a rather sophisticated and expensive piece of equipment. We couldn't justify having that piece of equipment here. When we do that type of televising in our utility projects, but we subcontract to Great Lakes TV. They have the equipment to do it, and they're very good at it. So that's what we use for the detailed televising for our projects.
So when you said the pier does the televising themselves, they don't televise laterals?
They don't do the laterals.
So they're getting no indication of whether WPS damaged laterals at all?
Right. Yeah, they can't confirm that.
However, we've had confirmed damage to laterals where they've bored directly through them.
Yeah, we've had that happen. We've had about a half a dozen cases where an electric service or a gas service was bored through a lateral. And unfortunately, when we find these, many times they're 7, 8, 9, 10 years after the event occurred. So we had a couple up on the... We had one on Fairview. I think we had two on Fairview that were gas lines, gas services that went through a lateral. You know, that's a dangerous situation. And it was there for years. What happens is, after 7 years, WPS, they will not pay for the repair. They basically say it's the contractor's responsibility. So then we're in a situation where it costs us $2,000 or $3,000 to do the repair. We didn't cause the damage, and we have no recourse to collect reimbursement.
What does it cost for Bay TV, or whatever it's called, to do the Great Lakes?
in the neighborhood of, say, $700 to $800 a block, somewhere in that area.
And when WPS pulls their permit, they pull it by the block or by the... What does our permit cost?
The project that has been on hold now for a year because we've been working on this permit. Actually, WPS put the project on hold, but now came back and want to restart the project. And this is, you're looking at this from a distance, but you can see there's six or seven blocks here off of Webster Avenue, up Longview, Fairview, Gwynn, a little bit of Ledgeville, and several blocks on Clay.
So what would the permit cost for that, and what would it cost to rent or to contract out for televising for that project?
The permit fee for this project, the permit fee we gave them was $2,250 for this utility project. If we contracted out the televising, this would probably be about $4,000, plus or minus. That'd be a rough number. Maybe it would be a little less than that, but it would be up in that range.
So if we raised the fee, the permit, and had everything contracted out to have everything televised, and half the time we were right and there was some damage, WPS would pay for not only for the permit, but they would pay for
televising.
The televising. And then half the times we were wrong and there's really nothing there, we would in essence be eating the cost of televising.
Right.
So as long as we work it out so that there's some money in the permit going towards the televising costs that we're going to incur when there's no damage but we've televised anyway, then it should be a wash if we estimate right.
If we can get by with charging for that, yeah, as a portion of the cost, that will be contested.
Well, everything's going to be contested. Right now, right now we're not moving anywhere, it sounds
right,
like.
Exactly.
What happens if we can't reach an agreement and...
It'll go to the Public Service Commission. One way or another. I mean, if we don't issue a permit in some fashion, yeah, they'll take the next step.
It strikes me that we have the right to get the information to charge them if they've damaged our property or the resident's property. So developing a system where there's some increase in the permit coupled with an agreement with WPS that if the results are that you have damage, that they're responsible not only for the damage, but for the televising as well. That seems reasonable to me that we'd be able to recover our costs. It's not like we're trying to make money off the deal. We're just trying to recover our costs of finding out whether damage has been done or not.
Yes.
So what would the Public Service Commission's, I mean, do you have any idea of the types of rulings that they've given on issues like that?
Through the discussion that we've had over the last couple of years about this permitting procedure, which has been contested by WPS, the Public Works Directors had a meeting with legal counsel from WPS 2 years ago when we drafted this,
okay.
And they objected to the procedure.
Well, of course.
And we the position we took was, this is a public safety issue. This is what we have to do to protect our utilities and the general public. We're not charging you for any cost other than the cost we incur. And no cost over the cost that we incur to administer any permit for you and provide some inspection.
But Craig, they say right in here, if damage to the municipal utilities has occurred and is confirmed to be caused by our company or contractor, the cost of televising along with repairs is the responsibility of our company. So they're agreeing that, look, yeah, if you have information that we did something wrong, we're going to pay to repair it, and we're going to pay for the televising costs. It really is just a matter now of who fronts the money for the
sure.
televising costs.
Sure.
And what we're saying is we can't front all that money and then not have a system to recoup it if 99 times out of 100 there's no damage there, because, right? So it seems reasonable to me that we have to have some system in terms of increasing the cost of the permit so that we can recover those costs.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that still may be contested.
Right.
And our position has to be that this is a public safety issue.
It absolutely is. We have to find the information.
That's right. And as a minimum, that's what we have to do. We have to say it's public safety. Okay. And that's our justification. It's just to be aware that we're now entering into an area where we're probably going to have legal counsel involved in how we deal with this, because it's probably going to come to that.
Okay. Why are we blazing the trail again? Why are we the ones spending the money up front on attorney's fees to try to get WPS to do something that everyone else is going to benefit from? The other municipalities need to be in on this too. I mean, right? We all want this, so.
Well, that's a good point. I guess the comment I would offer is 4 years ago, when WPS came out with its relocation policy, that they were going to charge us for relocating utilities that they clearly needed to do on their own. They weren't driven by us.
Right.
And that was on this project over here where we wrote the storm sewer. And I think they sent us a bill for $30,000 or something like that. I refused it. And I went through the bill and I picked out the charges that were valid that I felt were what we did cause, and we paid for that cost like we would have in the past. They threatened us with litigation. What happened is City of Manitowoc and a couple of other communities went to the Public Service Commission prior to what we did. They went to the Public Service Commission, contested it, and it went to a contested hearing case, and Manitowoc won, and the policy was voided. So we weren't the leader in that case, but somebody else benefited us. Now, what can we do here with the other communities? We can certainly work together on this.
Yeah, I mean, please do.
Everybody to do the same thing.
Right. It's going to speak much louder the more communities that are involved. And, you know, people have to step up to the plate with us.
Yeah.
I understand WPS's apprehension, because they don't want to open this can of worms.
That's what it's all about.
And so they're going to fight us, and they're probably going to fight us a long time. And are we going to want to be spending thousands of dollars in attorney's fees being the trailblazers and having our friends to the north, south, east, and west to wait until they see what happens before reaping the benefits? So if we're going to start to act like a greater Green Bay metro community, then this is a nice way to start out, in addition to the fire merger, of course.
Well, this is our starting point at this juncture in this whole process, because we have been working together, but now this has come forward, and here's where we're at.
Right.
So this was so that collectively we look at it as a village and decide, well, how do we think we want to move forward? And that's a workable approach. Then we track our costs, we try to budget for it, we try to recover some of those, and then when we need the televising, we'll require it.
And we ought to charge them back in turn.
We'll need the televising every time, right? How do we know when to televise and when not to televise?
Ideally every time, because otherwise you miss them, and that's what happened with some of them, was they were found after the 7 years.
We that permit fee includes limited inspection on our part. We put an inspector out on the job site once or twice a day to just take a look at what they're doing, see how the work is progressing, find out if they're having problems. We have to do locates of the utilities in advance of their work, so we're out there. And this is a way for us to evaluate the quality of the work. And when we see that the work is suspect, that's when we want to really start looking at doing some TV work and make sure that we don't have damage. It doesn't guarantee we're going to find everything. We might miss something, but it's certainly a lot better approach than what was used years ago. And it's a way for us to evaluate and do what we need to try to protect our utilities.
I'm not sure. What would that look like, though? How would you know? We've got to call in the TV folks, or no, looks like we don't have. I mean, when they bore through one of our utilities, can you tell them
worn through one of our utilities? Or how
well, in some areas, utilities are very deep. We're not too worried about it. Other areas are shallow. We know where some of the utilities are shallow, and those are the ones okay. we want to make sure that they're done right. We know when you look at a crew that's working, you kind of know what the quality of work is. You can see if they're paying attention to working around things, doing potholing to locate utilities and things like that. So it depends kind of on the company that's doing the work as well.
Okay. So what you're saying is there are cases where you know they're not going to be anywhere near a sewer main, and
exactly.
it would be silly to televise it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So if we entertained a motion to move forward with a program in which the permit fee were consideration were given to increasing the permit fee, and that that we would do televised inspections when it was deemed by the staff as being necessary, and then working out agreement with WPS that if they did damage that they would pay for both the televising and the repair, that would suffice.
Sure.
Okay, I'm much more comfortable with that because we're not televising every time, and that complicates it if we're televising every time in terms of trying to guess as to how many of those times you're actually going to be right and be reimbursed.
Do we have like a worst case scenario, how many projects we do in a year that from low number to high number? Or?
There's typically about two of these projects a year.
Okay.
Major projects.
And the one that you referenced on Fairview in that neighborhood, is that public services idea, or did we bring that up saying
that's public service.
That's there.
And so there would be quite a few of these projects. They call them pre-59 projects. What it is a steel pipe that was put in prior to 1959, and they found high corrosion rates. So they want to replace all of that piping. So once this project, I know that they have more projects on the north end of the alley.
So this is a huge public safety issue for WPS, right?
Yes.
If they've got gas leaking.
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay, any further questions before we move on for a motion? Okay, I'd like to make a motion that the Public Works Director draft a proposal by which the permit fee is increased to account for the increased costs of televising, that televising be contracted out, and that the staff determine the projects in which televising is necessary, and that WPS be requested to reimburse for the cost of televising and the repairs if damage is caused as a result of their work. Since Trusty Guest is gone, I had to stretch out. Is there a second? Trusty Green?
Second.
Discussion? Craig, if you had to, you started out the conversation by saying we have to sort of decide where we're going to fall, whether we're going to sort of toe a harder line or not. I see this as sort of pushing the issue and saying no, we're absolutely not going to take the entire burden of this on ourselves. Is that
it is, and there'll be some pushback. Okay. But this is where we'll go, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Thank you.
In the general discussion in Public Works too, is we should stand firm on this just because it's absolutely wrong that they can come in, damage another municipality's utilities, and take absolutely no responsibility for it.
Added in that motion, Craig, is the friendly understanding that we encourage other municipalities to play along with us. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Item number 9, we kind of covered this, but we have to officially adopt a resolution 2013-11 compliance maintenance report that was discussed in item 8A. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Kopers, second. Trustee Gendrich. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 10, action regarding the adoption of ordinance 2013-05, amending section 23.06 of chapter 23, regulation of fermented beverages and intoxicating liquors. This is basically to align the
the ordinance with the number of liquor licenses and the types that we have currently out in the village. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is there a motion with regard to this item?
I guess I'm...
I realize I haven't looked over this way enough because two-thirds of you are gone. Trustee Dart, that one. Second. Trustee Green.
Second.
Discussion.
Another second, that too.
Debbie was telling me that we decided years ago that what we'd simply do was adjust the ordinance to fit the number of licenses that we have out rather than setting a max and then having to adjust if we wanted to go above that, or is that correct?
You didn't want to be above what we had on the books to make it appear that we had more, that we would issue more.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
It's only in the event someone wants to open some new establishment, they would apply for a permit, and we could.
They would ask if you would consider increasing the number, and then they would bring you their plan, and then they would still have to bring their application to you either way.
Okay. Rather than having three or vacant out there, and they just apply and get them. Okay. We got it. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Reports.
Turkeys.
Turkey.
I'm not the turkey guy.
Yes, you are.
He's been
shed that title for a long time.
I don't have a lot to report on. I did talk with Jeff Nikolai from the DNR, and if the village chose to kind of a case-by-case basis where a resident would like to have some of the turkey removed from their property, we could go through a permit process. So the village would have to apply for permits through the DNR, and then we would in turn issue those permits. So you'd have to come up with some stipulations as far as what would you allow to happen. Is it capturing them? Is it a hunting season for them? We could look at doing a case-by-case basis.
Were we going to have someone come in, maybe this guy, talk about the different options, the cannon, the rocket, the whatever else there was to take care of this?
Mr. Nikolai had been out for a while, so I let him get his feedback underneath him.
Okay.
Come back in, but,
okay. We still have plans to have him come in? And
would like to, and it's when it's going to happen, I'm not sure.
Do you recommend that we do something in the meantime? I mean, I know there are residents out there who are, especially as the weather has changed and there are more and more wildlife out and about. That have we heard anything from residents?
Yeah, any more complaints or concern? No.
Have you been in contact with the original folks that so they sort of know what we're trying to do here?
So they very much appreciate it.
Pardon?
They very much appreciate it.
There's only one flock of turkeys that someone's complaining about then?
At this point, yes. So I'll try to gather a little bit more information, try to find out when Mr. Nikolai may be able to come in and kind of work that angle. And that's something that it might be where it might be during the day, or it might just be a couple board members if they're available to stop in. So.
Okay. Brad, if we went through this individual case-by-case permitting, how long would it take for us to get permission to grant the permits, or is that basically the DNR? Did you say the DNR? Is it the DNR?
Yes.
How long is that process? Or I'm wondering if we should get started on that now so that if we come with a strategy, we have the permits already available. Pardon?
Right, and I can certainly get started on that, but you know, there are a few things that we need to discuss as a village board once you allow these permits. You know, are you allowing hunting in the village?
Right.
So what type of hunting? I mean, you've got a few ordinances that you need to look at.
Right.
So there's a little bit of work ahead of us yet before anything.
And then we wanted to get the public involved. We don't just want to start handing out permits.
Nobody knows.
But the time to start thinking about these things is now in terms of getting the public involved. They're making sure the permitting process is underway so that we have the permits in hand so that when we decide that we have a strategy for taking care of this, that we don't have to go. Otherwise, it's the end of the summer before we've informed the public or gotten feedback or gotten the DNR to grant us permission to give out the permit. So
I'll give Mr. Nicolai a call tomorrow and get this process moving and get an idea of when he may be able to come up.
Okay.
Any idea what the cost of a permit is? If you need a permit, want a permit?
There, to the best of my knowledge, there's no cost whatsoever.
The turkeys in question, or the people with the turkeys in question, are they causing damage? Or are they just irritating them, or the turkeys? Are they eating the shingles?
Not that I'm aware of. I think it's more or less a young family.
They've got kids, right?
The turkeys chase the kids. Outside, right?
Okay. Thanks. Well, you're not the turkey guy. You should do a good job when it comes to turkey.
Turkeys are
turkey poop. Is there a motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.851E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, etc.? Trustee Dart. Is there a second? Trustee Green. Roll. Trustee Kokish?
Yes.
Trustee Gendrich?
Yes.
Trustee Green?
Aye.
Aye. Trustee Dart?
Aye.
We're in closed session.